need to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away. Where are you, men of courage? You were made for so much more. Let the pounding of our hearts cry, we will serve the Lord. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees.
You know, that is one of the characteristics that we Christians really need to increase in our lives, develop in our lives. Courage, 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 courage. That's what I want to talk about now, the courage to do the right thing. One of the reasons that so many Christians will not do the right thing is because we don't have the courage to do what's right. I was talking about righteousness exalting a nation, and you know, one of the things that's so important for us to realize is that sometimes we won't do the right thing because we don't value what's right. And that was one of the focal points of mine as I spoke earlier today. Many people who claim to be Christians and claim to be people who value what's right don't truly value what's right. And that's why their decisions are so frequently, so persistently about what's wrong. They grasp, they value what is wrong in the world. That's what they truly value. The Lord God said it so clearly. You know what's in a man's heart by discovering what he treasures. Once you discover what is in a man's heart, you have discovered what they treasure. Once you discover what they treasure, you've discovered what's in their hearts. It works both ways. And many people, many, many people who go about the business of saying they love what is right don't truly love what is right. A lot of churchgoers, a lot of people, a lot of people who say that they really, really care about the poor, the needy, those who need help, those who are in need, they genuinely care about them. When the rubber hits the road, we find out whether or not they truly care. Think about this. Think about how excited Christians get when a preacher or a teacher begins to read the passage that pertains to the Good Samaritan. And that preacher, that teacher expounds on the Good Samaritan passage, what it means and what it means to us, and how excited Christians get. And then when it is time to do it, when it is time to do what they can do to help their neighbor who is in need, who is bruised, who is beat up, who's been beat down and left for dead, not only do they choose not to help, but they make sure that they support the people who will continue the bruising process. And not only against one individual, but against an entire race of people. and against an entire class of people. And one of the things that makes it so odd, so bizarre, is that you have millions of people, millions of churchgoers who profess to love Christ, who profess to love their brothers and their sisters, who persistently look for the candidates that will hurt their brothers and sisters and themselves. Because they keep looking at those people, those people, those people. And they want the politicians in office who will hurt those people. Or at best, they just don't care that the politicians are going to hurt those people. Not realizing that the more those people get hurt, even though their own pain will be less, the more they themselves will be hurt. The more they themselves will be bruised. But they're so focused on their pleasure, their glee, their joy, their happiness, that those people will be hurt. Or, again, at best, their insensitivity at the fact that those people will be hurt, that they overlook the fact that they themselves will also be hurt. You can best believe the middle class is going to be feeling the pinch worse in the next 2 to 3 years than they were feeling it during the 2016 campaign. I want to share with you a truth that will mean very little to many, many people until that truth is hitting them square in the face. The Lord Jesus talked about it, for example, in Matthew chapter 25, where they talk about the separation of the sheep and the goats. And he starts out by talking about how the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." It's good that we help anyone in need, but especially a brother or a sister. We are in Christ, literally in Christ, spiritually in Christ. We are literally members of his body. He takes those truths so seriously that he says when we have done something for one of his brothers, no matter how low on the social class scale, when we do something for one of his brothers, even one of his brothers or sisters who's in prison, we've done it for him. What did he say about those who did not do these things for him when he was in need?